From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. There used to be a bumper sticker that read, "It takes leather balls to play rugby." The idea was that the game exemplified the most macho He-Man sport known to, well, man. But this year's Rugby World Cup competition, now underway near Paris, has a somewhat more elegant style. Don't get me wrong, the action has been plenty rough and tumble, but Frank Browning reports that the World Cup and the surrounding hoopla also show that rugby is not just about manly men. It's about music, dance, art, and the intersection of cultures.
Nobody in Polyglot Saint-Denis could miss the rehearsals echoing through the streets over the last few weeks. More than 1,000 amateur dancers, singers, and musicians spent 6 months preparing for the so-called melee of cultures. Saint-Denis, you'll find every purist of French aristocrat's nightmare. Tahitians, Guyanans, Algerians, Malians, West Indian Islanders, Portuguese, Slavs, as well as Breton nationalists. All the outsiders France either conquered, sequestered, colonized, or imported to attend the unpleasant work of building La Gloire de la France. Many of them are now under threat of deportation by anti-immigrant forces in the government of President Nicolas Sarkozy. Few could afford the tickets to the World Cup. These are the people who interested master choreographer Philippe de Coufflet.
80,000 people come every night to see a rugby. Just a few of them go out to this city, which is a fantastic city. And it is really the idea of this parade is to create a bridge between the stadium and the city.
So the city's mayor commissioned de Coufflet, who designed the opening spectacle at the 1992 Olympics in Albertville, to create an event. 90 different ethnic and community groups began working in January to put the carnivalesque show together. More than a bridge to the daily World Cup competition, it was meant to show all the worlds that are touched by rugby, from South Seas drummers and singers to the Celtic pipes of the Saint-Denis Breton Association. There were also 9 youngish fellows waving white feather pom-poms.
This is the pom-pom boys. Because we have a rugby team which is only girls, so we decided to do a pom-pom boy band, sort of.
So you are the pom-pom boys?
Yes, we are. We are 9.
No pom-pom girls?
No, boys. Boys.
But the craze over rugby isn't only in Saint-Denis. Across town, the high-toned ethnographic Quai Branly Museum has given over the entire month to the culture of rugby and brought in New Zealand artist Greg Semu. He says rugby is a game he loves and also one that captures the history of European colonization, especially by the British.
What I'm saying is that the game of rugby comes from the colonizers, and all the best players in the world are the colonized natives and indigenous people. For me, the World Cup rugby is basically all of the colonized countries and islands and civilizations of the world brought together to battle it out in one big battle. May the best team win. You know, so in a way, it's celebrating the colonizers again, you know.
New Zealand's famed All Blacks, after their jerseys, donated a huge, almost surreal photograph of themselves against a jungle background. So Greg Semu took another iconic image, Napoleon crossing the Alps on a black steed. Then he altered all of the faces to look like indigenous New Zealand Maoris in the uniforms of the conquerors.
When you look at it, the colonials that are fighting the Maori are actually Maoris. And everybody has facial moko. Moko is, ta moko is the word given to tattooing for the Maori people. And when you look at this work, it's actually brother against brother. Divide and rule, which is the golden law of colonialism, English anyway, is how they conquered all of their opponents, is turn them against themselves and let them battle it out, and then they'll just pick up them, sweep out the mess.
Rugby, unlike other major sports, tends to bleed over into generating broad social festivals, parties, and celebrations, says Stéphane Martin, president of the Quai Branly Museum.
For a very long time, the rugby culture has included a lot of cultural elements from the country which are part of the competition. It used to be kilts, it used to be also the culture of the south of France, south of Europe, and since about 10 years, it turned very Polynesian. And it's very interesting to see that now on all the radios we're talking about the game. Every day you listen to people talking about Hakka, about Mokos, like it would be something very natural, very normal.
Indeed, the Hakka war dance, the famous anthem for New Zealand rugby players, was also the centerpiece for the carnival at Saint-Denis, as giant Polynesian men painted like warriors chanted, slapped their thighs, stuck out their tongues, and sent their fellow performers wild, pom-pom boys included. It was a party. And it was the kind of old-time street demonstration, complete with placards against immigrant deportations and police abuse, that would make Saint-Denis' graying progressives proud. La terre nationale sera le genre humain. C'est la lutte. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning in Paris.